welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hour number two on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a lot coming for you today here on the show. Corey Curtis from News 2 drops by at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans draft with him. Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock on the latest with the Nashville Predators. Got the Rex rant coming your way later this hour at 7:45, so you're going to want to make sure you're tuned in for that. And Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, coming up at 8:45. The Nashville Predators taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight on the road. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Right now, talking NFL draft and the Tennessee Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So the draft is over and done with for the Tennessee Titans, and several different selections made at key positions of need. Now, some selections made maybe a little bit later in terms of positions than we thought heading into the draft, and some not made at all. No tight end selected by the Tennessee Titans in the draft. So, Joe, we're going to go through each pick individually here for the Titans and give them a 1-5 rating on what we think of the pick and what we think of the decision made by the Tennessee Titans. So let's start with the simple start in the first round of Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech, selected with the number 22 overall pick by the Tennessee Titans. 1-5, what would you rate that pick for the Titans when it comes to Caleb Farley?
Okay, well, I guess it's probably the same thing, but I was thinking of it in terms of words, okay?
Words?
Yeah. Love, like, neutral, dislike, or hate.
Well, you can make 5 your love.
That's fine.
There you go.
But also, this was I'm trying to think of like a scoring system for this too. So this is how I would do it. I would say love's a 3. Likes a 1. Neutral's a 0. Dislikes a -1. Hates a -3.
There's a lot of math.
There's a lot of math going on here. And then what is your final score after you add all those up? Okay. Does this make sense?
Why can't we not just 1-5?
Why can't
it's much easier to do math 1-5.
You're making things very difficult here, Rex.
Because I like negative points to be involved too, so you can add and subtract, you see? So then you could go through all the draft classes and see how many are on the plus.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think we should probably still go 1-5. But yeah, we can do whatever you want.
Or we could do we could spend a segment figuring out the math.
Good. Or you could just do 1-5.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say the words
okay,
at least.
That's fine.
I'll add it up this way, you know, and then we'll see what we come up with.
Okay. So Caleb Farley,
I am very close between like and neutral, but I'll shade to like, you know, and that's a nod to like the medical information that the Titans got. I mean, I just can't believe they're acting on a whim here. So I think he could be a dynamite player. So I will – it's close, but I go like there.
So is that a 4?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a 4 in your scoring system. It's a 1 in mine.
Okay. I'm going neutral with Caleb Farley. I love the talent on the field. The back injuries scare me. And that's difficult for me to overcome in this conversation. Maybe he comes in immediately and he's great. That would be awesome if you're the Titans. How long – can that back hold up? Is he going to make a full recovery where the back's not an issue as you move forward here? That's going to be interesting for me to see and for all of us to see. But with that kind of hanging in the backdrop, it's hard for me to say like. I will go neutral at number 22. I would like the first round pick to be more of a sure thing in terms of injuries coming in. And it's difficult for me if it's not to be like in that category. So I'll go 3 in my scoring system with that.
Okay.
Going to the second pick selected by the Tennessee Titans, the offensive tackle out of North Dakota State, Dylan Radins, number 53 overall. Now, this goes back to last year, as Porth pointed out earlier in the show. You swung and you missed on Isaiah Wilson. He is gone less than a year after you selected him in the first round. So that presents an opening for Radins to come in here at number 53 overall. What do you think of this pick when you factor in the entire situation here for the Titans?
I'm neutral on it. I get it. You know, there's some question with him on, you know, the level of play. I think in some positions it's not as important as others. I do in the trenches. You know, I'm a little bit more iffy on guys who are at a you know, that level, the FCS level. And there's some questions about him in terms of his strength and balance, stuff like that. I mean, obviously he's a very well thought of prospect. He was going to go pretty high in the draft. It's a need. And really, if you're going to knock the opening, then you go back to the last draft, sure, and give it a F minus minus minus, yes, you know. But, I mean, look, they're drafting for what they are right now. But I'm neutral on it. I mean, I think it could work out. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to start quickly, and it could end up being a really good pick because they and honestly, who knows? I mean, obviously, most of these guys who go high, almost all of them are left tackles in college. You know, at some point, Taylor Lewan's contract is also going to be a point of discussion. So, I mean, if he's a long-term guy, he could be a long-term left tackle down the road. I mean, who knows? But at this point, I got to be neutral on it.
I don't like it. I think this, and you brought up part of my concerns. I mean, you're playing college football at North Dakota State. That's not as big a deal from some other positions. The line of scrimmage, yeah, I mean, it's a totally different world playing at North Dakota State and playing at, I don't know, Georgia or Tennessee or somewhere like that. So I'm concerned about that. How does that translate to the NFL? Obviously, Teron Davenport, a guy that I trust very much on his football knowledge and what he says, and he kind of went through his process here breaking down Dylan Raidens and says he's not an instant plug-and-play starter, so the Titans will have legitimate competition on their hands with Tyson Brailoe and Kendall Lamb. Well, to me, if he's not an instant plug-and-play starter, what in the world are you drafting him at number 53 for with all the other needs you've got with this group? I don't like this pick.
Yeah, I mean, he better be a starter. He better be a starter this year if you're going to take him there.
Yeah.
I mean, I just – so they may disagree with TD.
I mean, they very well might. We'll see.
Yeah.
At number 92 overall, the Titans select Monty Rice, linebacker out of Georgia. How would you rate this pick? Interesting selection in the third round for the Titans.
Well, it's either dislike or hate. I went dislike because, I mean, I don't hate the player.
Sure.
And I think it certainly could be important in 22. But here's the thing. So we just got the news, you know, Adam Schefter quotes Drew Rosenhaus. The Titans aren't going to pick up Rashawn Evans' fifth-year option. You know, clutch your pearls, shock face. I mean, everybody knew that was coming. Rashawn Evans knew that was coming. But quoted them saying, you know, but they want to sign him to a long-term deal, you know, cap issue. Listen, if they really wanted to, they'd pick up his option.
Exactly.
And then they'd work on it. I mean, it's – but regardless, let's say that that happens. You know, let's say – I mean, Jayon Brown has a good year. Someone else signs him. Maybe – I mean, to me, if I were the Titans right now, I would be more motivated to try to keep him than Rashawn Evans.
Yes.
But let's say that it is Evans. You can't have a starting duo of Evans and Rice together. It's the same player. You can't have box, like, run-stopping linebackers at both spots there. If anything, I'd rather have two Jayon Browns,
yeah,
and give up something in the, you know, you'll give up some TDs and short yard, you know, goal line and stuff like that. But, like, you can't have a Rice and an Evans long-term on this team. So something doesn't add up there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to me, it's probably that Monty Rice will be the guy and Sean Evans will be moving on. We'll see. But if that's your plan to have them both, you're that's just not a good plan. So I go dislike. I think they could have got them later. That's another thing that is a problem with this pick.
I hate this pick. And it has nothing to do with Monty Rice. I mean, I think he could be a fine player in the NFL. But to your point, I think he could have gotten Monty Rice later if you really wanted him. And we talk so much about position of need heading in, and you know, wide receiver is on the board. You've got Amari Rodgers available to you before you trade that pick back with Green Bay. I mean, it's there are different routes you could have gone here if you're the Titans. Again, nothing against Monty Rice, but I hate this pick for the Titans at number 92 overall. Now, maybe this time next year, you're really glad that the Titans selected Monty Rice because Rashawn Evans isn't here and he can plug right in there, but as far as the needs were concerned with this team, don't like that whatsoever. What about Elijah Molden, cornerback out of Washington, selected at number 100 for the Titans in this draft? What do you think of Elijah Molden, cornerback out of Washington.
I'm going Love here.
Ooh, going all the way.
I'm going all the way to Love here. Yeah, I'm a big fan of this pick. I just think at 100, you know, I thought I had Elijah Molden also on the big board going in, like, the second round pick possibility. You know, a thing with Molden is he ran a 4.6 at his pro day. He also was advised not to run because he had a hamstring. He ran. Maybe it hurt himself a little bit with that. But if you watch this guy play, heck of a football player. Heck of a football player, and he's 5'9", and that also knocked him down. And, of course, you'd like all your corners to be 6'1", you know, and be have all the dimensions that Caleb Farley has. But I think he's perfect in the slot. Now they have the guy that they know they're going to put in there. And also, like, just so impressive, too. I mean, I think he's like a potential future team leader. To get him at 100, I think, is a steal.
Yep, I love that pick, too. I think he's going to be great for the Titans. And, look, if you're a Titans fan, you may be nervous about Caleb Farley and his back, but if it works out, I mean, there are some really athletic, intriguing young pieces that they have at that position with Farley, Christian Fulton. We'll see if he can stay healthy this year as well, and Elijah Molden coming into the mix as well. I mean, you've gotten a lot younger at that position, which may mean early on you're taking some lumps, and those guys are kind of learning on the fly and you know, baptism by fire at the NFL level. But I think long-term, this could be a pretty good trio for the Titans if things work out from an injury standpoint. So really happy with Elijah Molden on that standpoint. We'll come back and finish the rest of the draft for the Tennessee Titans on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Right now, going pick by pick through the Titans and their NFL draft in 2021. We've gone through Caleb Farley. We've gone through Dylan Radins, the offensive tackle out of North Dakota State, Monty Rice from Georgia, and Elijah Molden, the cornerback out of Washington, selected by the Titans at number 100 overall. At 109, the Titans select Dez Fitzpatrick, wide receiver out of Louisville. And we talked about his size earlier, 6'2", about 209 as well, a big receiver. So not necessarily a slot guy that's been selected by the Titans in the draft. And you look at their big three wide receivers right now, which what I would assume would be Dez Fitzpatrick, A.J. Brown, and Josh Reynolds as well. There's nobody there that's like your obvious slot guy. You can line up A.J. Brown pretty much anywhere. What did you think of Dez Fitzpatrick, the selection at number 109 overall for the Titans?
I'm neutral on it. He's a good player. He's very productive. The measurables are good. The John Robinson talked about, you know, like the work ethic thing that the raves were coming from, you know, the Louisville staff. And I understand every GM says stuff like that about players. But, I mean, he kind of went out of his way to say that they got some really strong endorsements on him. It's amazing, actually, when you look at him as a player and you look at the production, you watch him, that he was as low rated as he was in the receiver core by analysts. But
yeah,
I mean, taking him in the fourth round is totally reasonable. I'm neutral. You know, they did give up two picks. They went from 10 to 8
yep.
to get him. One of those was pick 232, whatever. But still, to give up two picks, go from 10 to 8, give up a little bit of your quantity in this draft to get him, that's quite a move. I'm neutral on it.
Yeah, I like the pick. I mean, 19.4 per catch last year. I think the speed is something maybe you're a little concerned about. He's not a burner out there. But I think, you know, as big as he is, you're lining up guys on the outside that can go up and win some jump balls. I mean, I think he can go up and win jump balls. I think A.J. Brown can go up and win jump balls. We'll see what Josh Reynolds brings to the table in that area as well. I like the pick. I don't love that they gave up draft capital to go get him. And I think if you're a Titans fan, you're probably sitting there like, okay, would you be better off doing what they did and kind of trading back with Green Bay and ending up with Dez Fitzpatrick? Or would you have been better off just hanging around at 85 and selecting Amari Rodgers? I mean, I think that's the question you've got to answer if you're a Titans fan here. What'd you think about Rashad Weaver, pick number 135 overall, the outside linebacker slash defensive end out of Pittsburgh?
This was close to love. I went like. I like it. I like it quite a bit. Fifth round. And this is he's just a really good football player. You know, he stops the run. I actually wrote a little bit today, and I just put in Vrabel's whole quote on him in my piece today because it was like, dude, Mike Vrabel actually gave a great quote on something kind of unprompted, which just happens every once in a while. But he had this long kind of story about Weaver at the Senior Bowl, and they put him at three technique. You know, they're like, well, let's try at three tech. I mean, this is a guy who's a pass rusher. And Vrabel just liked how he responded to that. He's an interesting player because, again, he's a 4-3 end for Pitt, for Pat Narduzzi, 4-3 defense guy all the way.
Yep.
But he really does measure out as an outside linebacker. He's a guy, unlike Patrick Jones, his running mate with that Pittsburgh defense, he's a straight-up 4-3 end. Wouldn't really have fit here. But Weaver does fit here, and possibly he could even go inside some. You know, we'll see. He's got versatility. He makes ton of plays. Yes, I'm a little biased by his interview, too. I think he was the best interview of the bunch. He's going to be awesome for us in media, which I know no one cares about. But so what? Care about us. Yes. We're excited about the interviews.
Yes.
No, but I mean, but you know, that does tell you something a little bit about personality, too, and presence in the locker room and all that stuff. I just think it's a really good find in the fifth round. And I think he comes right in, and he's their three. And now they have – I understand, look, Ojulari almost happened. I mean, I assume, or maybe not. Maybe they wouldn't have taken him. They almost had a chance to take him. There were other guys higher ranked out there. We'll see how the Joe Tryons and the Joseph Asais do. But to get a guy of this quality in the fifth round, I think they have a solid three now, and I think he's going to contribute.
I am very neutral on this one. To me, I mean, I've seen this song and dance before by the Titans where – they wait this long to address pass rush in the draft, and by and large, it's not worked out very well for them. Look, I think Rashad Weaver was a really good player in college. Can that translate to the NFL? Can he be a guy where, like you said, I mean, he's not going to be asked to come in and play a ton of snaps immediately. You're going to have Bud Dupree in there. You're going to have Harold Landry in there. So I'm interested to see what he can do in this role. But I think my neutrality on this may have more to do with the Titans than it does Rashad Weaver and the history I've seen with this franchise. Like, it's hard for me to get excited about a pass rusher with the Titans this late in the draft when I've seen this happen so many times.
All right, so I know about, obviously, DeAndre Walker. That was the one empty pick of 2019. You're thinking of who else on that?
DeAndre Walker's in that list. I mean, it's throughout the entire history, and Porce brought this up a few times. They've been searching for a legitimate, bona fide pass rusher to find in the draft basically since Javon Kearse. I mean, they found some in free agency. I mean, Jason Babin came in and had a great year. Kyle Vandenbosch was really good during his time here. You know, even, you know, Brian Arakpo came in, and he was really, really good. But it just kind of feels like they've not really addressed this in terms of the way they should in the priorities. Like, I understand they've gone the other way on this too, and Derek Morgan was okay. Kevin Dodd was a total disaster. But it just feels like year by year goes by and this is not addressed to the liking, I think, of most fans. Like last year going through the draft, and it became obvious that Clowney was a part of the plans. But you go through the draft last year and you don't even address like pass rush until like Laurel Murchison in the fifth round. It just feels like this is the same song and dance with the Titans.
And if Bud Dupree isn't ready for week one, is Rashad Weaver going to be lined up opposite Harold Landry?
I would think so.
Not acceptable.
Okay.
Completely unacceptable.
Okay. Well, I'll argue with you guys. First of all, Landry was a second-round pick. They obviously like Landry, right? I mean, Landry hasn't gotten the big sack numbers, but he plays every freaking snap. He's a starter. Then they paid Bud Dupree $82.5 million. So there's your starters. Now, look, I think that you have to get a three in this draft. But how – if we talk about Monty Rice or Dylan Raiduns being, you know, reaches to go that high, how high do you go to get your three at a position?
When you have 19 sacks the year before, you go as high as you freaking need to. I don't care if it's number two overall.
Yeah, but again, are all three of those guys going to be on the field together? Probably not.
Probably not.
So – you know, it's also the, like, what are you
adding?
I mean,
in a perfect world, you would like to get somebody in there that's better than Harold Landry.
Yeah. But
would you not?
Well, sure. But who in this draft was?
I don't know.
I mean, look, the Ojulari thing clearly is a knee thing, right? I mean, Ojulari.
You would think so. I can't think of any other reason why he would have slid that far.
Right. So who else in this draft at the edge, like, would, do you feel like, oh, he's coming right in? Oh, my God. What the heck was that? I'm so excited. I'm pushing the mute button in the middle of me talking.
Yeah.
Like, who in this draft are you saying, oh, this guy's coming right in, and he's going to, you know, push. He's going to be starting fine with Dupree's hurt, and great. Landry, get out of there.
I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about Greg Rousseau? I don't know. He was all the rage 2 months ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, Jalen Phillips, the other Miami guy who went real high.
Right, but he was off the board by the time he got there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's the guy I look at in this, and I say, okay, he's got the ability where, like, wow, he could be something. Maybe Quiddy Pay. Maybe.
Maybe.
It just, it was not, it really wasn't a great edge class. I feel like there was, like, the one guy who's a real risk in Phillips, and then some good guys, and, you know, I like that they got a guy of this caliber where they did. I hear what you're saying in their history. We'll see. But it still is. It's your three, you know. And if Bud Dupree doesn't work out, well, you just had another terrible free agent period and buried yourself with an $82 million contract.
In the sixth round, 205 overall, the Titans select Racy McMath out of LSU, the wide receiver, a 4.34 40. So got a lot of speed there. 6'2", 211 pounds. Look, you know, you had Justin Jefferson in front of you, Ja'Marr Chase, Terrace Marshall Jr., obviously a lot of talent at wide receiver, but the production really wasn't there all that much for Racy McMath, even though he's a first ballot member of the all-name team as we come into the Titans training camp here. What do you think of that pick, and especially when you factor in the special teams part of this too and the role he could play there?
I'm neutral on this pick. I like the speed, you know, not much production, but I think that there's an explanation for that.
Sure.
Where he played, it's good to get kicking game help. I just think, again, in this spot, I'm looking at what are they drafting a tight end here? And I'm not surprised they end up with two receivers in the draft, just like you said earlier in the show, two corners, two receivers. Makes sense. But I'm neutral on it. We'll see. I mean, he's – like, I'm not sure he's making the team.
Right.
He probably will. So if he's that good in the kicking game, you know, if he's – I mean, Dane Brugler actually in his analysis said he could be a star gunner, which is not something you hear a lot.
Hey.
But you know what? Great gunners are good to have on a football team. The most important play in football is the punt.
That's right.
But I'm neutral on it.
Yeah, I'm neutral on it as well. Like, he's a guy – I think you like the tools. I mean, 6'2", 211, you run a 4.3 40. That's a lot to work with there if you're Racy McMath. Now, can you find a way to get him to run routes at the NFL level where he can get open and you can use that wide receiver? Like, it's one thing to come in and be good on special teams and be a gunner, and that's certainly important. But in a perfect world, I mean, you'd like him to come in and be able to give you something at wide receiver too. I mean, even though you've gone through the draft here and you brought in Des Fitzpatrick, I still look at the back half of that receiving room and think, all right, there are a lot of questions when you get down to number four. Like, who is the number four receiver right now for the Titans? Is it Westbrook Akina? Is it Cam Batson? I don't know if in an ideal world that's who you want being your number four. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe those guys come in and they play really well and they've justified this for the Titans. But if you could get anything out of McMath at the wide receiver element of this, I think that would be great.
Yeah. I mean, the Titans like Batson and Westbrook Akina. You'd rather have more proven depth there. I would say, you know, McMath would slot in behind those guys. So are you going to have that big of a room? But if he comes in and beats out one of those guys, then that's a good sign. I mean, it's a good sign for this pick.
The final pick by the Titans at 215 overall, Brady Breece, defensive back out of Oregon. Joe, what do you think about that pick, besides being an awesome name?
I dislike it. I love the name. I dislike the pick. Look, I know they need more safety depth for sure, but you know this guy. I mean, he doesn't. No one thinks he's going to be playing defense in the NFL. He's a special teams demon. He played every single unit for Oregon. So I mean, you know, I think he'll have a chance to make the team because of the kicking game. I'm looking at a tight end here. I'm looking at maybe a kicker here. Something else.
Yeah.
I got to go dislike on this one.
I'm with you. I dislike it as well. I think this could have been used. I mean, when you get down to 215 overall, like everybody's going to point to, you know, Tom Brady at 199 and all these things, and I get that. But 215, a lot of it's a crapshoot anyway. You're just trying to get somebody that you hope can come in and contribute. I would have liked to have seen them gone either a tight end or a kicker or something that you feel like, heck, even a backup quarterback coming in and seeing what they could look like at this position. So I would dislike it. TD, our buddy from ESPN.com, he ended his segment on Brady Breeze by saying, quote, "This pick is somewhat confusing given how players such as slot wide receiver Kay Johnson and outside linebacker Quincy Roche were still on the board." So TD says somewhat confusing, the pick of Brady Breeze.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I mean, right now their safety group is worse because even if Amani Hooker is as good as Kenny Vaccaro, they don't have Amani Hooker now at the
exactly.
three. You know, you got Crookshank. So you need depth. I just – this you go this late to get that depth, you're not bringing in a guy who's probably going to help your defense.
When we come back, we will react a little bit to our picks that the Titans have made and our grades for them. Got some of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also get back into the Nashville Predators as well. The table is now set. What do the Predators need to do in these next four games to make the playoffs? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got the Rex Rant coming your way at 7:45, so looking forward to that. Coming up in the next segment. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coy in Clarksville texting in, "I remember when Michael Ruse was selected in the second round and wasn't a fan favorite either. Look how that turned out for the Titans." So going back to the Titans' second round selection of Dylan Radins, the offensive tackle out of North Dakota State, "I said I disliked the pick." Coy saying, "That's how people felt about Michael Ruse as well. Worked out pretty well for the Titans."
Yeah.
That could be the way this works out. I don't know.
I remember liking the Isaiah Wilson pick. So, hey, you never know.
No, you don't.
So I kept score of the 1 through 5 scale.
So did I. Let's see if our math is the same.
Or McMath is the same.
Yeah,
yes. Joe graded out at a 3.2 average over the course of the 8 picks, and Robbie graded out as a 2.8. average.
There you go.
Oh, you average them. Okay, yeah. So,
yes.
So by Robbie's scale, I gave this class a 26 out of 40. He gave it a 23 out of 40. By my scale, I said these guys, this draft ends up with a +3 and Robbie with a -1. So there you go. However you want to look at it.
Sure.
Does that make me qualify as a doom and gloomer here on the show?
Well, it's a C. I mean, yeah. and basically a +3, that means I'm C+, you know, yeah. So I mean, although that's not an option. I think if I have to pick one of our poll letter grades, I'll go C. C's right. I mean, it's a C with upside to me. Sounds like me as a student.
A C with upside, Joe Rex Road. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, "Joseph Asai should have been picked, not Weaver." What do you think about that?
Well, you would have had to go... Yeah, you would have had to pick him much higher. Where exactly did Osai go pick-wise?
That is a good question.
He went relatively early in the second round. I know that. And that's a guy that I looked at. I like him a lot. I really do. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, he was actually picked in the third round, and he was picked 69 overall. Nice. Yes. All right, Joseph Asai. But – yeah, I mean, look, I like him. I like Asai. I think, you know, the funny thing is, look, here's the thing with, like, DeAndre Walker, Rashad Weaver, and stuff like that. I don't remember ever watching DeAndre Walker make a play in college. I'm not saying he didn't. He must have, right? And he must have.
Sure.
He played for, like, a loaded defense. I don't remember ever watch. Like, Rashad Weaver, I just have happened to watch a lot of Pittsburgh. But, like, dude, the guy is a player. And I understand he went in the fifth round, so how could you be that excited? I think he's going to be a really good value pick. Joseph Asai is a guy who I think can be a good player in this league. He's not coming in right now, I don't think, and making a big difference. He's the definition of, like, the raw upside guy. But I was on board with the Titans going there. They would have had to Well, they would have had to either maybe, I guess, reach at 53 or move up, you know, in the third round when he went and receivers went and Tommy Tremble went and Hunter Long went and a whole bunch of guys just before they picked.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I give J-Rob a grade of D for this draft. With the options available when the Titans were on the clock, I do not understand what the Titans were thinking. So a D for John Robinson from that texter.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some very upset fans about this draft. I think more negativity about this draft, an instant reaction than probably any other draft under John Robinson, I would think. I think so. I think so.
Now, that doesn't mean it's going to work out that way.
Oh, no, not at
all. It'd be hard to be worse than last year so far at this point.
No. I mean, the reaction to last year's draft was much more positive than this one. So, again, we don't know. But I'm just saying, like, I think this is the most fan anger. I think it probably has something to do also with how last year went.
Agreed.
And how the defense played for that 11-5 team. But still, bad defense.
Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, you have to think the Titans are going to make some kind of move on offense in free agency or trade. I would think Golden Tate or trading for Hayden Hurst out of Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't think the Golden Tate thing's happening. I don't think the Julio Jones thing is happening. Kaharski asked J-Rob about Julio.
Yeah.
And I get the policy is like, because he would immediately, like, I don't talk about this stuff. I think that would have been a good one for Robinson to be like, no. But normally I would never say that. You know what I mean? Because, like, when he said no comment, some people I'm sure were like, oh, they're talking to the Falcons about Julio. No, man. They're not getting Julio Jones. People are like, oh, they could restructure a couple deals. Yeah, but it's restructuring you'd have to do to afford Julio Jones. It's not happening.
The cap hit for Tannehill in like 2023 would be $70 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, down the road. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. $1 billion.
Let's go back to text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Trey Smith should have been taken over Brady Breeze. Saffold isn't getting any younger, and Trey Smith that late is a steal. I tell you what.
I love that idea.
Trey Smith going to Kansas City. I think as long as the blood clots don't become a thing again, you're going to look back 5 years from now and be like, how in the world did the Kansas City Chiefs get Trey Smith that late?
I bet you he's a 10-year starter there.
Yeah.
And I agree. The Titans, why not bolster your depth inside? Right now, you know, Aaron Brewer is your swing guy in there. I'm totally on board with that text.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rob texts in, with Jim Schwartz coming in, is it possible we're moving to a 4-3 and we'll actually play both Rice and Evans at the same time?
No.
I don't think so.
No. Mike Vrabel is a defensive guy. He's a football guy. He has a defense. He is not bringing in Schwartz and saying, hey, let's try your defense. They are not changing defenses.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in, draft Anthony Ferguson in fantasy because they must know something that we don't. May not be a bad strategy this year.
Honestly.
Maybe Ferkser's just going to play every snap for the Titans at tight end.
He's going to get some targets this year.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's already been a productive guy. Good guy in the red zone. But, yeah, something else has to happen there. The Hayden Hurst thing, I mean, something like that. Again, I like the O.J. Howard idea because he's on a rookie deal right now. When everybody's talking about these trades for these veterans. Okay, how much are they costing? You have a very small amount of money left after the rookie pool is paid off. If you get someone on a rookie deal, I like that a lot. O.J. Howard, I feel like, I mean, obviously I thought he was going to be a total stud in the NFL.
So
he's been a disappointment. But that team just has a lot of guys.
Yeah, they do. I mean, when you've got Gronkowski and Cameron Brate on the same team, I mean, it's just hard to get snaps at that point. And, you know, he's had some injuries that he's dealt with, too. So when you factor that in, it's not a good combo. But, hey, you love the talent. Maybe you could get him in here.
Do you think Jason –
maybe they love Jared Pinkney.
Do you think Jason – well, Robinson mentioned Pinkney. Do you think that Jason Light would trade O.J. Howard and Ryan Succop for Rashawn Evans? Make the call, J-Rob.
Check it out, buddy. If you get Succop back in here, be pretty good. He's pretty good last year. Super Bowl champion Ryan Succop.
I don't think we're freaking out enough about the kicker situation.
Does it not read to you like they're, I guess, just waiting and seeing what Gostkowski wants to do?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of a dangerous game to play, though, if he decides not to come back and play?
Well, but, I mean, Robinson was asked directly. I don't remember who asked it, but he was asked directly about Gostkowski, and he, like, didn't even, like, really acknowledge Gostkowski. It was, I don't know. The answer made me think, like, they're moved on. I could be wrong. But, yeah, if they're just in a total limbo situation hoping he comes back, I just feel like they are moving on from him.
Yeah.
That's how it reads. That's how it feels.
So what are they going to do? You just love Tucker McCann?
Maybe they do.
Maybe so.
I mean, this happens all the time in this league. You bring in an undrafted guy, and then like a year or two sits around, and you're like, okay, he's good enough. I mean, maybe that's it. I wouldn't feel great about that right now. Based on what I've seen, he was okay in camp.
We're going to be charting kicks every day in camp again coming up. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, and then like we'll have disagreements. Like Jim Wyatt's over here on one goalpost. He's like, oh, no, that went through. I'm like, no, it didn't. What are you talking about? This will be great.
It'll be a lot of fun coming up watching the kickers in training camp in August. Speaking of fun, when we come back, it's time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Another edition, Joe Rex Road, fired up as always. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the
Oh, yes, it is time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road, and we have set the mood. This is a cover song of Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. As mixed on Facebook, some dude on Facebook made the song as if Blink-182 were singing this song. And I know they got you fired up. I thought it was good.
You know what's hilarious is some dude on Facebook sounds as good as Blink-182 ever did.
He sounds
some dude with a Casio.
He sounded pretty close.
Can just sound just like Blink-182. So that should tell you a little bit about Blink-182.
I thought he did a good job.
I actually
like the song.
I like the song normally. Now they ruined it for me. I mean, I know Don't Stop Believin' has been a little bit overplayed at sporting events.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I actually always liked it. I don't know about now.
That Blink-182 version sounded pretty good, leading us into the Rex Rant here on the program. The Rex Rant happens every week on Mondays here at 7:45 on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road has his rant. I turn it over to you, Rexy.
All right, so look, as we've all seen, as we see every year, there are all kinds of opinions on the NFL draft.
Sure.
Okay, it's built for this. Every team, every player across the league, there's grades, there's what we just did, scoring this guy and that guy, and Dane Brugler today is going to have his grades of all the teams, and then we're going to have the mock for next year and all this stuff. I mean, you can go back to any year, if you're being honest, and find how just a dead wrong you were and how dead wrong GMs were, okay? Yeah. I loved the Kevin Dodd pick. I was a little shaky on Derrick Henry. I don't know. Derrick Henry, you just signed DeMarco Murray. Isaiah Wilson, oh, great interview. I can see this working out. Look, we may look back someday at Pro Football Hall of Famer Monty Rice and seven-time Pro Bowl safety Brady Breeze and then wonder, like, whatever happened to those, like that Trevor Lawrence dude, that Kyle Pitts guy, whatever, yeah. Whatever, you know, who knows? We don't know, man. But here's the only thing that's not okay at this time of year is having the opinion that opinion shouldn't be had about the draft. It drives me insane. And it happens every year, there's someone, and this happened on Twitter with me, I'm sure anybody who's out there talking about this stuff, oh, you don't know better than the GM. No crap. We know that we don't have that. We're not GMs. We don't have the same information.
And I would like to introduce you to Mike Mayock as well. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. We understand that it's just like talking about a football game. Well, you don't know what the coaches saw. Okay. Did they win or lose? Because if they lost, we're going to talk about plays we didn't like. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's just how it is. This is like for me when my kids are sitting there bickering at each other and I say, if you don't have anything nice to say, then just don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
It never works. But for people whose commentary on the draft is, oh, like you know any better. If you don't have anything to say except that draft opinions are dumb, just don't say anything. We all know it's dumb. We know the teams know more than us. We're also participating in something that makes the NFL king, okay? This is a huge part of the NFL. They just dominate.
People talk about it all the time.
Think about any other sport right now. The draft. I mean, the NBA draft has a night, a couple hours. I mean, this is a dominating thing, and it's okay to have opinions on it. And look, there's some terrible ones. Like Mike Farrell of Rivals, you see his thing?
Yeah. About Trey Smith?
Yeah, he's like, oh, you people who said I was wrong to have him as a four-star. What do you think now? It's like, dude, he has blood clots,
you idiot.
I will give Farrell credit for apologizing. But that was an example of an incredibly stupid opinion. It's still better than the opinion that you shouldn't have an opinion.
Yes.
Okay? And by the way, there's some people who go into a draft, and I mean, sometimes it's, you know, because you're on the payroll or whatever, but there's some people who go into a draft and are just going to say, well, John Robinson, how could you criticize? Oh, Titans fans ripping this pick like they have any clue. Okay, well, John Robinson has been very successful, drafted Kevin Dodd, drafted Isaiah Wilson, moved up for Rashawn Evans, took Corey Davis number 5 and Dorey Jackson number 18. Okay, he's made mistakes. They all make mistakes.
Sure.
He also drafted John Brown in the 5th round and Kevin Byard in the 3rd, Nate Davis in the 3rd, Jonnu Smith in the 3rd, took Derrick Henry. That turned out okay.
Not bad. So,
like, look, we don't know, and he doesn't know either, and none of these GMs know how things are going to work out. But does that mean we can't talk about it right now? So Jim Nagy, friend of the show, I like him a lot. His analysis is fantastic. He came on the show. He has great comments on all the players. He's a Senior Bowl guy, so especially the guys that are there, he knows really well.
Sure.
So then he comes out yesterday, and he's like, this is a tweet from Nagy. Quote, nothing more consumable and irrelevant than winners, losers, list, draft grades, and next year's mocks. So all the information a guy like this puts into the world, great information. So there's more discussion of the players. So the product's value is enhanced. Now we can't use that information to evaluate the jobs of the people who made the picks?
It's unbelievable.
So that information is really valuable and great before, but now it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Now we just wait.
We can't talk about the picks. We can't question the GMs. We can't. I mean, every little detail about a toughness and competitiveness and length, scheme versatility, it all matters a lot. Until the people who are making a ton of money to do this stuff put it into action. I mean, it's ridiculous. We're all guessing out here anyway. And frankly, I get annoyed by Titans fans who think every pick sucks and, you know, this is a disaster and all that stuff. I mean, I look at, like, Jared's out here like, Caleb Farley doesn't work out. You're fired, John Robinson.
Yes.
But you know what? I respect that way more than the opinion that you can't have an opinion.
I agree. And that's what makes the draft so much fun. And I think the NFL, number one, I mean, the NFL's popularity, it's so much, you know, higher than the other sports. And this is just a dominating news cycle in our country all the time. But also, like, I think, you know, with the NBA draft, for the most part, you know who's going to translate pretty well to the NBA game. Like, it's number one, it's 2 rounds. So it's not like you've got a ton to work with there. The NHL draft is great. But you're talking about guys, for the most part, that are 3, 4, maybe in some cases 5 years away from coming in and being part of the team. This is an immediate transfer from college football to professional football with people that you're hoping are coming in and making a difference right away. And the miss rate's pretty high. So it's pretty awesome to discuss. Like, all right, like even a guy like Trevor Lawrence, we all think he's going to be great and he's going to be awesome at this level. But what happens if he's not? Like, what if he comes in there and he's just your average guy and then they never get anywhere with Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback? I think that's what makes the draft so fun. So could you, I guess if you're a cynic, just look at it and be like, well, you don't know. Like, Ryan Leaf was supposed to come in there and be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he sucked, and he was a bust. Jamarcus Russell was selected number 1 overall, and he sucked. He was out of the league in 5 years. That's all true, but that's part of what makes this fun. And it just, if you took the approach of, well, let's just wait and see, well, then what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, I guess we can not predict the season or not talk about it. I mean, if a team loses a game, gets blown out, well, just wait and see what they do at the end of the year.
Just shut us down. Yeah. We'll be back there for every game, after every game.
I mean, all these opinions, there are going to be very wrong opinions, okay? But they are not irrelevant. They're not irrelevant.
No.
And that's my problem.
Now, I think that's a good Rex rant right there.
Thank
because
you.
This happens a lot, too. Like, even with, you know, the Predators and the deadline, they're like, well, David Poile decided to keep everyone. How could you question David Poile? Like, I think David Poile is a great general manager. Obviously, he's the winningest GM in NHL history. That does not mean that every move David Poile makes is the right move. I mean, we've talked about a lot the last few years. Kyle Turris, that did not work out so well for the Nashville Predators. So, like, this, and I got into this with somebody at the deadline, this idea that you just can't question anything from general managers or coaches. Do they know better than I do? I would hope so, if you're in that job.
I mean, they darn well better.
Yeah. If not, I mean, you're in, and like I said, I'm not sure that some do. Mike Mayock in Las Vegas may not know better than most people when it comes to what to do in the NFL draft. But that's part of what makes sports fun, too, is you can second guess. They are paid a lot of money to make these decisions. They can handle being second guessed a time or two.
Yeah, they're paid a lot. It's public jobs, and it's okay for all of us to give our opinion at the time. And it's important to be willing to say you were wrong, because we'll all be wrong in this, but every GM in this draft will be wrong on at least a couple of their picks. And they might be surprised at how well a couple of them work out. I mean, it's an art. It's not a science. And it's an incredible discussion point. All the people who want to say, oh, you just trust the GM, just exit the discussion. Let the rest of us blather on about what we think about every pick, and you shut up and go talk about something else.
That is today's edition of the Rex Rant. You can check it out every Monday morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hey, don't miss the Cure for Our Friends Cystic Fibrosis Golf Tournament, May the 15th at 12 Stones Golf Course in Goodlettsville. Some of the teams include retired Titans football players who will be hanging around after the tournament for the after party. Cure for Our Friends Golf Tournament still has room for a few more teams and a need for silent auction items and sponsors. More information can be found at cureforourfriends.org. Thank you to Dad's Towing, Mitchell Motors, and Nashville Wrecker Services for being the tournament sponsor for the 2021 Cure for Our Friends Cystic Fibrosis Golf Tournament. When we come back, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get into the Titans draft with him. Also, a big win for the Nashville Predators on Saturday night as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.